With LinkedIn Jobs, we tap into a network of more than a billion professionals to help you find quality professionals quickly and easily for any role you need. Marketing wizards? Found them.
Software engineers?
Found.
That project manager I could never seem to hire?
And found. LinkedIn Jobs quickly matches your roles with candidates with the right skills and experience. In fact, 86% of small businesses get a qualified candidate within 24 hours. Post your first job for free and get started at linkedin.com/spoken. That's linkedin.com/spoken. Terms and conditions apply.
Hello and welcome back to the EPL Roundtable. I'm your host, Kevin DeVries, and as always, if you'd like to reach us at the podcast, you can do so by either tweeting us at EPL Roundtable or emailing us at EPLRoundtable@gmail.com. All right, we are here with an Arsenal update, joined by Dan Fitzpatrick, you can find on Twitter at @the_jersey_fits. Dan, a pleasure having you on, and I'm sure it's a pleasure being on, considering some of your recent business. Of course, you get the Dani Ceballos loan over the line, beating other people that were trying to demand purchase options in the deal. Arsenal said, no, that's okay. We'll just take him for the year, see if we can't work out a Kovacic thing at the back end. You also bring in air quotes, William Saliba, a really talented center back that is going back on loan to France. And then kind of the crown jewel here being announced today is the signing of former Lille winger Nicolas Pepe, who was fantastic in Ligue 1 last season. I'm sure everyone has seen, contributed to more goals than everyone but Mbappe in the French League last season. So we'll kind of start in reverse order here. Let's start off with Pepe, because it was such a huge get for Arsenal. You know, he was allegedly destined for Bayern for the majority of the season. They were poking around. PSG were trying to get him, but Lille didn't want to sell to them. How do you think Arsenal managed to sneak in there and then with a huge 80 million offer when there were reports that Arsenal had so little money?
In terms of taking him from other clubs, it kind of makes sense that he would go to us just based on playing time. And we do have a good history of French players, specifically French wingers. But the fact that we had the money to do it, I had no idea. I was completely blown back by the fact that this happened. There were some vague links over the summer, and I guess I didn't see this at the time, but I saw after that there were some Demarzio reports the day before David Ornstein announced or tweeted it. He obviously didn't announce things, but I was totally shocked. I woke up, looked at my phone, saw Arsenal are going to sign Nicolas Pepe, or Arsenal agreed terms with Lille for Nicolas Pepe, and just could not believe it. Completely blew me out of the water. And he's a great player. Very, very exciting. Really something we lacked. While we have lots of good attacking players, outside of Aubameyang, they're all very slow, and really no one on our team is particularly good at dribbling. No one, we did not have anyone to really take players on from wide or really anywhere. And he's a huge addition. I've not watched a lot of him, particularly other than highlights. I've read a bit on him, though. He seems, of our recent players, I'd say closest comparison is Alexis Sanchez. Obviously, don't expect that kind of production from him immediately, but just in the fact that he's a winger, cuts inside, takes lots of risks, tends to give the ball away a lot, but also does lots of very, very good things with the ball. And he does actually seem to be quick, whereas Alexis was all kind of first step burst. He actually seems to be able to keep that speed across like four or five steps, which is really nice because we've been a very, very slow team out of the wings outside of when Aubameyang played there and Bellerin steaming down from fullback.
Yeah, I actually covered the Lille-PSG match, where if PSG would have won the match, they would have won the title, but instead lost 5-1. And Nicolas Pepe was just a menace to the PSG backline that entire match. And I think, you know, sometimes it's hard to scout talent in France because there's a lot of it. But sometimes you're questioning the level of opposition. But seeing him show up in a match against PSG that would have won PSG the title and just disrupting them in that kind of way was really a signifier to me of the kind of player he was, both ability and mentality. So definitely a signing that I'm jealous of. Kind of a trend this summer. I kind of alluded to it in the intro. Dani Ceballos looked for a very long time like he'd be heading to Tottenham. We demanded a option to purchase, and it sounded like they were okay with that until Arsenal came in and said, we're okay with not doing that. And then Madrid were like, great, well then here you go. Rumors of loan fees in varying ranges, so don't want to really lend too much credence to that without knowing an actual price. But regardless, what do you make of bringing, I almost just said Kovacic because of how similar the situation is, what do you make of bringing in Danny Ceballos to the club?
It's another good signing. Very happy with it, even if we don't have the option to buy. Quite frankly, good bodies in midfield are always good. We have Torreira, Guendouzi, Xhaka, but Xhaka is flawed. And Guendouzi, while I rate him extremely highly, is still young. Having Ceballos to just kind of play lots of minutes and be able to keep everyone fresh, as well as just being a very, very good midfielder, is extremely nice. My one worry is that Emery may try and play him as a 10 as opposed to an 8. I would much prefer to keep him deeper in midfield to have him both dribble from deep and pass from deep, as opposed to try and be like the main creator. Hopefully that doesn't happen, but regardless, I'm happy with the signing. Ideally, we can go and work something out to buy him at the end of next season if it works out. But if at the worst case, it's not the worst case, but if we just say use him this season, don't get him back next season, but gets in the Champions League, it is more than worth it. So yeah, very happy with the signing.
Yeah, obviously both of these players will be getting forward in attack, though, regardless of where Ceballos starts the match. He will drive forward if he's playing as a 6, or just be up there if he's playing as a 10. What do you think the formation would look like next season with both Ceballos and Pepe in the 11?
So my expectations were going to go back to Emery's traditional 4-2-3-1. So it depends on where he plays Ceballos. Let's say if with Ceballos is an 8, let's say Torreira, Ceballos, with, and then it behind probably Aubameyang wide, Ozil at 10, and Pepe on the other wing with Lacazette up top. I think that's my expectation. And if Ceballos plays at 10, just take out Ozil, put Ceballos at 10, and put one of Guendouzi or Xhaka in for Ceballos.
Yeah, it'll certainly be interesting to see how all those pieces fit in. Just Aubameyang's play on the wing could be questioned. I'm not really sure if
yes,
you want Pepe
it could
on,
be.
It on
absolutely
the
could be.
Left. Maybe you switch them and just play Aubameyang even less comfortably just to get the best out of Pepe. It'll just be really interesting to see how all those pieces fit in. But unlike last season where it was like, well, we don't have a winger, so how about Iwobi or Maitland-Niles? You know, this is a much better problem to have, I assume, from an Arsenal fan perspective.
Yeah, very much so.
Yeah, I kind of imagine. Then there has been another big signing in William Saliba, another player that Tottenham were allegedly interested in. Some debating whether or not that was just pushing up the price. But regardless, great for Arsenal to get in such a young, talented center back. Give him another year of experience back in France before bringing him into the club. He is still very young, and as we all know, defense is usually the position that ages the slowest. Just development takes a little bit longer because you need that kind of eyes in the back of your head thing that only comes with experience. But like I said, very highly rated. Yeah, Pip, crosstown rivals, pardon the Americanisms, to get him as well. Are you excited for that to kind of be a developing trend this summer? And what do you make of the player and the signing on the whole?
Yes, us signing young players just to kind of take punts and hope they work out is something I've wanted us to do for a couple of years and we haven't done it. I'm very excited to get him. He, as you say, is very, very young. He's 18, doesn't turn 19 till March. So very excited to get him. Keeping him away from Spurs is even better. But we desperately need a center back to come good at some point in the near future, and hopefully he's the one. I can't say I've watched much of him at Saint-Etienne, but quite frankly, get that many minutes as an 18-year-old, and I guess some of the season as a 17-year-old, is pretty incredible. So just by that, I have high hopes.
Yeah, as we said, he's not going to be here this year. This is one for the future. I know this is a while off, but come 2020, do you think the partner for him is already in-house, or do you think you'll go back to the market to find somebody to either grow with him or to mentor him?
Whether I think the ideal partner for him is in-house, I'd say probably not. I don't know whether we will go back out in for another center back immediate or next season, but I do not think it would hurt us to do so, because we have to see Rob Holding when he gets back from his ACL injury, but especially considering he's coming off a serious injury, I'm not really sure I'm convinced he's one of the center backs for the future, even less so of Callum Chambers. Mustafi is awful and needs to leave. And Sokratis is old. And Koscielny's
allegedly trying to leave.
Yeah, we're just going to not mention Koscielny because he's just not going to be used this season, it looks like. Emery has basically said there's no way back for him. You know, we'll see if that actually is the case, but it's not looking great for Koscielny, which is very sad because he was our best center back last season, and he's been a great servant to the club for many, many years.
Hey, I'm Ryan Reynolds. Recently, I asked Mint Mobile's legal team if big wireless companies are allowed to raise prices due to inflation. They said yes. And then when I asked if raising prices technically violates those onerous two-year contracts, they said, what the f*** are you talking about, you insane Hollywood ass f-. So to recap, we're cutting the price of Mint Unlimited from $30 a month to just $15 a month. Give it a try at mintmobile.com/switch.
$45 up front for 3 months plus taxes and fees. Promo rate for new customers for limited time. Unlimited more than 40 gigabytes per month. Slows full terms at mintmobile.com.
Tired of ads interfering with your favorite sports podcasts? Good news. Ad-free listening is available on Amazon Music for all the music plus top podcasts included with your Prime membership. Stay ahead of the game by downloading the Amazon Music app for free. Or go to amazon.com/sportsadfree. That's amazon.com/sportsadfree to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.
Yeah, not to delve too much into this, and you just said you weren't going to talk about it, but what did you make of the kind of war of the managers with Emery kind of coming out and saying there's not a way back, but then Wenger saying that Koscielny was never anything other than just like a really seasoned, level-headed pro?
Yeah, so I'm assuming, obviously I don't know, I'm not in Laurent Koscielny's camp or Arsenal's camp, but I'm assuming what is the case is all of the Ligue 1 clubs who have apparently lined up to sign him are offering him multi-year deals, but will not offer him that with they have to pay a transfer fee. So he's, as an old player coming off a serious injury should do, is trying to secure a multi-year deal and as much money as possible. And he just... he wants to get that deal, which Arsenal are not going to give him, but they won't just let him go for free, and it's become messy. I don't know. I obviously have no idea how hard he's pushed, but enough to not come on the plane, so pretty hard to the America tour, so pretty hard. It's a reasonable thing by Emery to do. It does kind of kill any negotiating power we have in a possible sale, but I'm not sure there was that much money to be made anyway. As we said, he's quite an old center back coming off a serious injury. So it sucks. It's not a fun situation. It's not something I enjoy, but it's happening. And I don't know if it will be resolved by the end of the window. I would like to think so, but I do not know.
Yeah, he's a potential out. You also mentioned Mustafi, who has not covered himself in glory since joining Arsenal. He's allegedly also near the exit, which I'm sure some Arsenal fans will be delighted by. What's your take on those potential out rumors? And again, does that mean somebody is coming in, or is it just ship him out, see what happens with Holding and Chambers in 2019-20?
I know David Orenstein tweeted in all in like one wild string of tweets, that was a day, Arsenal were both looking to ship on Mustafi, and then they were looking to bring in another center back this window, but there have been, I don't think, any links, not that I've seen, definitely not consistent ones, for a center back this window, so we'll see if that actually happens. If I had to bet, I'd bet no, considering there's just not that much time left and there hasn't been a lot of noise. So yeah, if Mustafi leaves, if, again, gun to my head, I'm probably saying it's there's no one replacing him, but we'll see if that actually holds up to be the case.
Do you think that if he left and you didn't get a replacement, that your defense would be better next season regardless?
Probably. I'm going to say yes.
Yeah, right.
And it's a hard thing really to calculate, but I'm going to say yes.
Yeah, and for me, I'm actually not sure it's that close, which is really just a condemnation of his time at Arsenal.
More just if people get hurt, and then, because we would only have, Holding's not back for a while, Sokratis is fine,
and then you're faced with Chambers. You bringing Koscielny from the cold just because have bodies. Yeah. Yeah.
And it looks like Christian Bielik is on his way out of the club, and I think Mavropanos has been looking to be loaned out, and I don't think there are any other center backs outside of that. So it would be a matter of whether someone gets hurt, we are paper thin at the back. I guess Monreal could step in, but he's not really a good center back in a two. He's really only good in a three.
Right. And you aren't going to play three center backs when you have injured center backs.
That's yeah, that would be quite counterproductive.
So not how that works. Another deal that is allegedly in the works and would be a fantastic one and is another one that I'd be jealous of you getting is Kieran Tierney, of course, playing his trade currently in Scotland. Has had his career a little bit slowed, his trajectory a little bit slowed by injury, but a fantastic talent nonetheless. Allegedly getting closer, you've had multiple bids rejected, but you keep going back in for him. Do you think you'll be able to seal this one before anybody else starts trying to stick their noses in?
Just based on all the noise, I'd say I'm not like extremely confident of it, but if I have to give you an answer, I think it gets done. Kind of like, you know, 60-40, think it gets done, don't think it gets done. We desperately need a left back, even more than a center back. Our current left backs are Monreal, who is totally washed, and Kolasinac, who has not shown any sign that he can play anywhere outside of left wing back. As an actual left back, he's been not good. So any improvement at left back is a significant one. Tierney would be fantastic, even if the injuries aren't ideal. It'd still be a huge upgrade, and I would like that. That'd be nice. I would like an upgrade at left back.
Yeah, like you said, Kolasinac as a left wing back when there's a back three, he plays very well, but just when he just has to sit back, what, 10, 15 yards deeper? Just not so much. Why do you think that is?
Lack of cover, and he's mostly good going forward. He's going forward than he is back, which is funny considering the size of him, and everyone, you know, when you see someone that big, you as a defender, you usually expect him to be good at defending. Not the case of Kolasinac. He is very much a forward-thinking wing back, really, not a fullback, which is a shame because it'd be really nice to have a functioning left back.
Wouldn't it?
Yes, it'd be great.
So and especially if you brought him in, if you want to play Pepe on the left, I mean, that's a pretty pacey, creative duo kind of bombing down the left flank that would certainly not be a joy for many other sides. Do you think there are any other positions that would be addressed if you bring Tierney in, or do you think that that'd be just about close of shop? And as we mentioned, you've already spent way more than most people thought in the first place.
As I mentioned earlier, the Ornstein tweet makes me think we could bring in a center back, but as I said earlier, gun to my head, I don't think it happens. So yeah, I think Tierney would likely be the last incoming signing.
Gotcha. Well, with that in mind, what do you think the expectations are from the fan base and internally? Because internally, it seems like you're recognizing that with United's struggles last season, Chelsea with a transfer ban, bringing in a freshman manager for all intents and purposes, because, you know, he had his year at Derby, but his first year in the Premier League, with Tottenham having just signed the one player, Liverpool having signed no one. Do you think Arsenal are viewing this as their chance to get back into the top four and potentially higher?
Yeah, I very much think this is our shot at top four. As I said, I don't know how we got that. We had the money for Pepe. We've either been playing the media like a fiddle with how much money we actually have to spend, or we just said United and Chelsea will never be weaker. Considering Chelsea's squad with Hazard gone, and as you say, a very green manager in Frank Lampard, I can definitely see their season going very poorly. And with United's struggles under Solskjaer after the first little new manager bump, they are also extremely weak, or look extremely weak. So I think the calculation is they're never going to look weaker. We're going to overextend ourselves now and pray we don't blow it and get Champions League. I think that's the expectation. And I think we can meet it. I am relatively confident, even if it's more for because of our competition than our actual team itself. I'm reasonably confident we can get it. I don't know about finishing higher. I still think Spurs are very good. Liverpool are very, very good. I'd be completely shocked if we finished above them, despite them having signed no one. I think we can get fourth. I think fourth, third is probably our absolute ceiling. I think fourth is what we're looking at, and I think we have a reasonable shot at getting there.
Yeah, I wouldn't be surprised if it's another late one between Tottenham and Arsenal. Just hoping for a Brighton match there towards the back end of the season.
Yeah, God. Just any away matches and were in trouble.
But, yeah, although to be fair,
yeah, Brighton match was home, so it was a Palace one. So
true.
Anything with any amount of pressure, I guess, is
is really the issue there. Well, you'd think that with all these incoming players, maybe there would be a mentality shift. Obviously, Ceballos has won stuff. Did Lille win something? I want to say they won one of the cups, but I could be mistaken. Don't hold me to that. But anyway, bringing in players with at least a hunger because of age and a little bit of pedigree, maybe enough to help push you over that hump. I agree that I don't think Solskjaer is United's manager by the end of the year. And I think Lampard finally is the manager that gets his time from Chelsea. So definitely agree that there's a window there. What do you think the fan reaction would be if you got fourth versus if you didn't? Is fourth enough now for this fan base, having now gone without it the past couple of seasons? Or with the amount of spent, do you think the expectations are higher than that?
Fourth absolutely should be the expectation. I think it is, based on my, you know, circle of Arsenal fans. I think everyone I know would be very happy with fourth and just getting back into the Champions League. I don't think anyone is expecting the title, and if they are, I got bad news for you, my guy. I think everyone would be pretty happy with fourth, because we missed out on top four for the last 3 years. We just need to get back and try and kind of just get a foothold in being a Champions League club again, which is hilarious considering the reasons that people wanted Arsene Wenger out for so long, but it's reality now. So, you know, that's just kind of how it is.
Yeah, and then I'll just kind of wrap with an Unai Emery question, because I know you were not a fan last year, at times questioning whether or not he should be retained for this year. Do you think that you are building a squad that Emery can get the best out of and that the squad can get the best out of Emery? Or do you still kind of view him on a knife edge long term as Arsenal's manager?
I think this is probably a better squad for him, and just not having to be in his first year is probably will make it easier for him. I think if he get, I don't know. I think if he gets top four, he'll stick around. But if he doesn't, I pray he's gone. If he doesn't make top four, that would be wild.
With the squad, what we spent,
and the circumstances. If he doesn't get top four and he stays around, I will be furious. I'm still not sure he's the best long term manager, but I guess he's fine. And as I said, I think he'll get a top four this season, just because of the circumstances and the fact that we do have a pretty talented squad. Maybe that's just early year optimism getting the best of me. But I don't think it is. So we'll see how it goes. If he gets top four, gut says he'll stick around. Gut says he'll stick around. We'll see if that's actually the case. And if he doesn't, he just needs to go, because if he doesn't get it here, what's the point? Like, if he's not going to get it this season with this squad, with this opposition, he's not going to get it. So why keep him around?
Yep. Fair enough. Well, we will wrap things up there. Optimistic of a top four finish is Dan, and I'm sure most Arsenal fans that listen to this show. I would say best of luck, but I do not want to. But Dan, it's been an absolute pleasure having you on. Congrats on signing so many players and kind of the positivity that doing so brings. And I'm sure we'll speak soon.
I hope so, because that would mean good things for Arsenal. And I would like that, because not good things happened last year.
That is true. And that I did like, but we'll leave it there. Thanks so much for coming on, Dan.
Thank you for having me on.
Tired of ads interfering with your favorite sports podcasts? Good news. Ad-free listening is available on Amazon Music for all the music plus top podcasts included with your Prime membership. Stay ahead of the game by downloading the Amazon Music app for free, or go to amazon.com/sportsadfree. That's amazon.com/sportsadfree to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.